already talked to you just for a moment about my son, Caleb. If you don't know who he is, he's the little redhead five-year-old who runs around with energy for days. But one of the things that he really loves is playing games. In this season of his life, he loves playing games, but there is a caveat. He only loves playing games if he can win, right? If he's not winning, there is no joy. In fact, it's like the worst day of his life. Right? And he has to win at all costs. And earlier this year, he was in preschool and they were teaching the kids how to play Uno. And so one day I show up to pick up Caleb from school and he and his little buddy have all these Uno cards out there in the middle of a very intense game of Uno. And I'm just praying that their relationship will stay intact through this, you know, feat. And he's playing and he says, "Mom, come and play Uno with us." And so I sit down at this little table, and they proceed to hand me like three quarters of the cards, right? Like this massive stack. "These are your cards." And they have like, you know, three or four in their hand. But then, unbeknownst to me, there's this extra pile that they have hidden in between them with all the cards face up. So when I go to place a card, let's say it's a green seven, and they don't have a green or they don't have a seven, wait, and they look and they like start fiddling through to find that card and they put it up. No matter what, those boys were going to win that game. And it's fun. We play Uno at home. He just loves to win. And right now, his favorite thing to do is he watches on TV these like pre-recorded, they're on YouTube, pre-recorded video games. So of other people playing the video games, like Mario and Friends, and like they do these little tasks, and Caleb loves watching them. And as he's watching them, you know, do their little thing, they're competing against each other, the outcome is already fixed, right? It's pre-recorded. And Caleb will say, "Dad, I'm cheering for Mario." Right? And so he's watching and go, Mario, go, Mario. Well, it's all great and all fine until Mario starts to lose. And if Mario starts to lose, or if Caleb thinks, oh, this isn't going to end the way that I thought it was going to end, he will turn to Tyler and he will say, "Never mind, you're cheering for Mario. I'm cheering for Luigi." And he just like switches it up, right? All because this kid has to control the outcome. And for him, the highest aim is making sure that that desired outcome comes to be. And so he's going to do whatever it takes. Now, we know it doesn't take much faith to do that, right? In fact, it takes zero faith to manipulate and to control, to change the situation so that we get the outcome that we want. And if we're being honest, it's not just Caleb who does this, right? And there have been times for me when opportunity presents itself, right? There's a way for me in a situation to strive or to control, to manipulate or move the pieces of the situation in such a way so that I feel like I'm in control, so that I feel like the outcome that I want is the outcome that I'm going to get. This week, in fact, I had a situation come up where I had a choice to make. And I could have had faith in God, brought back to mind the promises that he gave me over a year ago. And I could have chosen to just trust him and walk in faith-filled obedience from his word, from his faithfulness, from what he's told me in the past. Or with this particular situation, I could try to control and manipulate, move the pieces together in such a way that I felt like, now the outcome that I want is going to happen. But the reality is for all of us, I believe, it is hard for us to relinquish control. It's hard for us to get to that place where we can open-handedly say, God, I trust you with this. I'm going to step back. I'm not going to control. I'm not going to manipulate. I'm not going to, when the things get hard, be like, oh, switching teams over here. I'm going to grab that controller. But to have faith that knows my God has it. He is in control. He has the situation and he knows the outcome. So my first step is obedience. And obedience, friends, is a step of faith. Obedience is a step of faith. It's saying, God, I'm trusting you with this, even if I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Even if I can't see it, will I have faith to obey? Are you ever afraid of making a decision? You're in a situation and you have a decision to make and you're afraid to make that decision because of the weight of the perceived outcome, right? There's this heaviness. It's a big, important decision. And so you can kind of get trapped in this almost like decision paralysis. I cannot decide. I don't know what to do. I don't want to mess up. So instead of stepping out in faith, instead of trusting God, I'm going to control. I'm going to hold. I'm going to grasp. And it can either be in a sense of, I just don't even know what to do, and so I'm stuck. Or it can be moving pieces, switching things, saying, oh God, could you give me that controller back? I want to handle this my way. Maybe we need to step out more in faith today with those situations where we're trying to control the outcome, to relinquish that control and say, my God has it. Did you know that the average adult makes about 35,000 decisions every single day? Okay, now most of those are subconscious because otherwise I think we would go crazy. Right? Your brain is just doing what God created it to do right now. You're making decisions. One of them might be, do I stay and listen to this person, or is there like a good opportunity for me to leave? But you're making decisions, and a lot of them. And because most of those are subconscious, right, you just do them out of habit. But there are some decisions that we make every day that have more weight to them. They're more important. They are things that we deeply care about. And in those decisions, we have the opportunity to either try to control the outcome or to choose to take intentional steps of faith. And I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert. You're getting the end of the message at the beginning today that it is always better to take intentional steps of faith in every decision that we make. Trusting God not only with the situation, but also with the outcome. And what this requires from us is faith-filled obedience. How do we get there? How do we get to a place where we can say, my obedience, this faith-filled obedience, is more important than the outcome? Obedience is how I want to live in faith. Well, first, we're going to look at the word of God and see what he has to say about it. And today we're coming to the book of Daniel. And in the first few chapters, there's a recurring theme of obedience, faith, and trust. In Daniel chapter 1, we're introduced to the main characters that are throughout the book of Daniel. First, you've got Daniel, right? And then these three other guys, they were his friends. The names that we know them by are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then there was this king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Those are kind of your main characters, your main players in the story of these first chapters in Daniel. And the context is that the exile has begun. So over the past few weeks, we've been talking about this impending exile. If the people of God do not turn back to him, if they continue to stand in idolatry and to look like the nations around them, then the consequence was going to be the exile, them being carried away into other lands. And so in Daniel, the context is this exile has begun, and the God's people are being taken into Babylonian captivity. And in Daniel chapter 1, King Nebuchadnezzar, he makes this command. He says, during the exile, when you're going to the people of God, I want you to look for members of the royal family, members of nobility, these young men who are wise, who have knowledge, who are doing really well. And I want you to bring them to me because we are going to train them and raise them up so that they can work in the royal service. They're going to be given education. They're going to be learning about the ways of Babylon, the languages of Babylon. And so Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are chosen. And they're brought in to this program where they're going to be trained, where they're going to be given the best food and wine because the king wants only the best of the best to be in his service. But right at the beginning, Daniel looks at this situation and he looks at the food and the wine that they're about to be fed and he says, no, we cannot eat that. We cannot drink that. And the guy that was just over him, this Babylonian guy, he's like, what do you mean? This is the king's command. We're giving you the best of the best. And if you don't do this, you are not going to be strong enough to do what the king wants you to do. He will notice and it will not go well for me. And Daniel looked at this guy and he said, I want you to test us. Test this situation. Because that food is going to defile us. Now, whether they were going to be defiled because the food was also being offered in idol worship, or whether it was just not according to the foods that they could eat in their Jewish tradition and Jewish law, but whatever the reason was, Daniel said, that food will defile us. So here's what we're going to do. For a number of days, we want you to only give us vegetables and water. And after this allotted time, if we are not strong, if we're not looking good, if we're not able to do it, well, then we'll know there's a problem here. But I believe that God is going to take care of us. And after that allotted time, Daniel and his three friends of only eating the vegetables and drinking the water were stronger, healthier, more ready to serve the king than all the others who had had this choice food and wine. Now, this situation of the dietary restrictions, it seems slightly inconsequential. Why is she talking about this? Who cares what they ate? Who cares what they drank, right? But the reality is that this decision that they made to not defile themselves, to stand with what God had told them, what he had taught them, that step of obedience is what built the framework for deepening faith and trust that they were going to need later in their life. They learned here in the small decision that obedience is better than outcome. Obedience, that faith-filled obedience, is what they were going for. See, they had faith that God would care for them, that he would strengthen them, that he would give them what they needed, even without that special treatment from the king. And so it laid this foundation for the weightier decisions coming in chapter 3. And so we get to chapter 3, and we hear a little bit more about this king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, he was an interesting fellow, and he was very, very proud, like incredibly prideful. And that led to his demise later on. But in this season and in this situation, King Neb thought that he was just the greatest. And so he has this huge statue built, and he says, when the music plays, everyone who is within earshot of that music must bow down and worship this golden statue of me, of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three guys, were there when this was happening. We don't hear that Daniel's there. He might be off in another region of Babylon at this point in time. But these three guys are there, and they hear the music play. And they look all around, and they see all of the people bowing down in worship to this golden statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just stand. We're not bowing down. Hope nobody sees us. Well, somebody sees them, one of the other officials. And I wonder if in that moment, when the music played, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to make a choice. Am I going to bow down and worship this idol? Or am I going to stay true to what I know God wants for me? For what I know that he has spoken to me? I wonder if they had moments where they thought, well, maybe God will give us a free pass, right? Maybe it's not that big of a deal in this situation. Maybe, in fact, God knows the severity of the situation. And see, the severity of the situation was that if they refused to bow down, the king said, you will be thrown into a fiery furnace. You will be thrown to your death. So this was not some simple decision. It was not the same weight of a decision as to whether we eat the king's food or we eat the vegetables. This was a life and death situation. Bow down or face your death. And I wonder if they took a moment of pause to navigate this situation. Well, we know that what we've been told is that the outcome is death if we don't do this. They knew. Obviously, this is against God. Idol worship is what got them into the exile in the first place. They knew that this was against his law. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not compromise. So they stood firm in their faith, faith-filled obedience, and they would not bow down. They held on to this conviction to obey God no matter the cost. And we read in Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, about how Nebuchadnezzar took this news that these three guys were not bowing down. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. He was angrier than angry. And he demanded that they be brought before him. And he gave them one more chance right in front of them. He said, guys, you have got to do this. You need to bow down to this idol or else you're going to go to your death. And I want you to listen what the three guys said, starting in verse 16. He said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Okay, so we're going to start there. He's able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, O Majesty. Okay, he will rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your Majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up, even if he doesn't. They moved from God is able to our God will deliver us to, but even if he doesn't. Interesting. How could they obey with such conviction and faith when they didn't even know exactly how the situation would end? See, they had tremendous faith. Our God is able. Our God will save us. But they also knew that God is sovereign and they are not. So even if he doesn't, we still have a choice to make. And is it a choice to follow God and to obey in faith-filled obedience? Or will we bow to the pressures of the world? They obeyed with conviction. They said, even if he doesn't, we still will not bow. And see, they can have that even if faith, because their faith was built on a foundation of obedience. And that foundation was forged before, in those smaller decisions, those day-to-day decisions of we will not compromise. We are called by God to a higher purpose for his glory and for him alone. We will not bow down. See, the interesting thing about obedience is obedience increases faith. And faith increases obedience. It's this beautiful cycle. When we say yes to God, when we step in obedience, the next time that faith is strengthened. I saw the faithfulness of God then. I saw how he took care of me then. So this time I have even greater faith to obey when the stakes are much higher. Obedience increases faith, and faith increases obedience. See, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was not the outcome that they pursued. It was faith and trust and obedience to their God. And you know what happened? King Nebuchadnezzar got even angrier. He got so angry when they refused to bow down that he went to this fiery furnace and he told them, I want you to make it even hotter So turn up the heat, 7 times hotter than normal. And he had those 3 men bound, their wrists bound. And he had his guards take them to the fiery furnace, open that door, and throw them in. And when they opened the door to the furnace, it was so hot that the flames, the pressure, the heat from the furnace killed the guards who threw them in. That's how hot this thing was. Nebuchadnezzar, I think he starts wiping his hands. He's like, okay, good, I'm done. Starts to turn away and notices something out of the corner of his eye. The Bible doesn't say that. That's me. But he notices something. And he turns, and this is what he says in chapter 3, verse 25. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god. Now, I'm sure he didn't say it calmly like that. I'm sure he was out of his mind. My guards are dead from just opening the furnace, and yet here I see not only 3 guys, I only threw 3 in, but 4 guys. None of them are bound. They are walking around having a grand old time in the fiery furnace that was meant to kill them. What is happening? What is going on? The 4th looks like a god. See, even if faith was saying, we will obey God, we will listen to him, we will follow him, we will trust him, we will believe what he says, even if we cannot see the outcome. Again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faced with death, said obedience over outcome. And God met them in that fire. He took the binds off of them, and he walked with them through the fiery trial. Now, out of the 35,000 decisions that you make today, I want you to right now think about one that you are having a hard time releasing and having faith for the outcome. What is that one decision? And it might not be today. It might be a situation that's been for the past season or one that you know that is coming up. But what is that one thing that right now in your life is the hardest for you to relinquish control of? Think about that for a moment. What am I struggling to have faith for? There's a saying in our society that is, let go and let God. Now, you might love that saying and you might be like, that's the cheesiest thing ever. But I want to talk about that for a moment, the principles of let go and let God. See, there's something very profound about releasing our situations to God, about releasing our controlling grip and letting God do what only he can do. What we try to do when we face difficult situations, when we face these decisions, is to hold on to them in a manner of control. I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to move the pieces the way that it works for me. I'm going to make sure that I'm doing everything in such a way that I get the outcome that I want. Whereas I feel like what God is saying, that's too much like Caleb playing his video games or watching his video games, right? What God is saying to us is, would you release control? And would you allow me to do what only I can do? See, for you and me today, as we make decisions to let go and to faithfully obey, I believe that God will meet us in the midst of that situation, whether it's a fiery furnace or it's a situation where you're tempted to compromise. God will meet us there. And from this story, from Daniel chapter 3, I believe that we can see 3 things that will help us on this journey of obedience over outcome. The first, what we see from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that they knew God's word. They knew what God had said. They knew his law. They knew the standards. They knew that God was calling them to something deeper. He was calling them to something greater. They knew God's word. And so whether it was a decision about what they were going to eat or a decision about idol worship, they knew what following God meant. And for us, we need to know what God has said. What has he said to you? What has he spoken to you? Because I believe that God speaks words to us to prepare us for the situations that we are going to face. And whether that is a supernatural word that he speaks into your heart, or it's through your daily reading of his word, where he speaks and deposits his truth into your life that is applicable to every situation that you face. What has he said to you? How is he inviting you to trust him, to have increased faith? When we come to these decisions that are weightier, we need to know, what has my God said first? Secondly, when you know what he has said, the next step is obey him in faith. Obey in faith, both in the little and the big. Learn to obey and to not make compromises. Right? And especially in those seemingly not so important things. I think the story and just how it's laid out from Daniel chapter 1 and then to Daniel chapter 3 is such a beautiful testimony to us that in the seemingly insignificant, we see them take a stand that was in line with what God's word had spoken to them. So that when they faced that fiery furnace, man, that faith had increased. They knew their God. And then three, know that Jesus is with you. He's with you in the fire. The word of God tells us, we did this, studied this a few months back, that even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. His word says that God will never leave us or forsake us. So whether we are walking through the good times or we're in the valley of the shadow of death or we find ourselves in the midst of a spiritual fiery furnace, we can know and we can stand firm in the truth that our God is there. And we are unbound, we are free because he is there with us walking through the fire. Our God has a ministry of presence. One of his names is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He does not leave us. He comes close and he walks with us, just being there. So know God's word, obey in faith, and know that he is with you in every situation. One of the very beautiful things that I see from the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is that they had this community of faith with the three of them. And when Daniel was there with the four of them, this community of faith that they got to do life together. And when I look out at you, and when I look at our church, I think what a blessing we have to have each other. That none of us walk through this life alone. We don't face the fiery furnaces alone. We have one another. What a gift that is. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were able to help each other, be sources of encouragement. At the beginning, Daniel was like, whoa, we can't eat that food. It's going to defile us. There was that encouragement that we together are going to obey in faith. They were able to help one another to stand strong when the stakes were high. They were able to together walk in faithful obedience. Tyler and I have noticed this in our marriage, and I wish that we'd like moved on from this at this point, but we still struggle from time to time. You know, we're human. And there are times when one of us is that when together we are facing a situation and one of us takes this posture, the sky is falling, it's all terrible, and the world is going to come to an end, and we're all going to die, and how are we going to provide, and our kids, and our house, and everything's the worst case scenario. That's one of us. I'll let you guess who it is. And the other one is like, remember God? Do you remember his faithfulness? Remember that he has this. He has you. He has us. And he is in control. And typically what happens, and this is what makes me feel really a lot better, because I know you all think it's me that was the sky is falling. But usually the next day the roles reverse. And Tyler's scream isn't as high, but it's like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And I'm like, wait. Remember God? Remember he's in control? Remember he's got this? Remember what you said to me yesterday? Yeah, it's still true today. And as a church, as a community of believers, that's what we get to be for one another as we walk through this life. Worship team, would you come? Can we be the church, the friend, the partner that walks through this life with someone else, where you grab them and you're like, hey, let's go. We're not going to bow down. We're going to obey in faith. Can we be the friend who helps someone else let go of control? Let go of the manipulation of trying to get everything, all the pieces together so that desired outcome could be met? Can we be the friend that helps the other to trust in God in those moments? Can we be the friend who says, I'm going to walk with you. Even if we're going through the fire, you're not going alone. I'm here. Can we be the friend who helps the other make those decisions where faith is built? Decisions that say, together, we are choosing obedience over outcome. Because the reality is, church, God's got it. He has the outcome. It is in his hands, and he is with you no matter what happens. All he calls us to do is to have faith in him. So would you with me today have faith in a God who is in control? He is good. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that we can trust you in every situation. And Lord, we can laugh and we can say there's some silly things from today, but the reality is that there are some really difficult situations that some of us are facing this morning. And God, we need to have you with us. We need to have your strength and your presence to encourage us, to tell us we are not alone, that you've got this. So Lord, I pray that today you would help each one of us to open up our hands, to relinquish control, and to say, God, I am trusting you. Would you help me to obey? No matter what comes next, I want to faithfully obey. Jesus, I thank you that you are with us, that your presence is always here. Make yourself known to us today, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as we worship together.